Welcome to the show, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize her, Andrea Casal. And Andrea's got a new last name. I swear, I can't remember it, but I had it on the email because her email, does your email stayed the same? No, it has stayed the same, hasn't it? Yes.
My email stayed the same.
All right.
I probably sent it.
Well, I have it on the form that I sent you to sign up for the day show. So it's Andrea, and I'm not sure if you kept the Casal name or not. I'm going to keep using Casal because, you know, it'll screw me up if I don't. But the new last name is?
Friesen.
So congratulations. Yeah, I think that's great. I know it's been about a year, and we all went out about a year ago and met the new man in your life. And that was when Frank Slope from Fridays with Frank was in town, and we all went out to Love Child.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, hopefully you don't have a love child by now, but yeah.
No.
We went to Love Child, though, and that was great. Cuban-Mexican. And you're Cuban, so how you rated the restaurant that met with your level of expertise and your palate and all that stuff?
Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed it. I am sad that now it's no longer, right? but who knows? I mean,
there's a new restaurant there, and I'm going to be going there next week with Jim Cabell on a friend of ours. For the people listening, I'll be doing that next week. I don't remember. I think it was Wednesday, so I'll let you know how it is.
Yes,
you know,
but expect a good report.
It's not Cuban Mexican. So anyhow, for people new to the show, we're a law enforcement talk show. We talk about today's news and issues from a law enforcement perspective. So if you just watch the show every day, and we're a daily show Monday through Friday during the lunch hour, that's 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. But if you just watch the show, you should be among the smartest people in the room with the news issues that are going on. And we tell it from a law enforcement perspective. We make no apology for that. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, we've got our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to Compliant Technologies, we finally got on satellite radio on May the 5th on Cinco de Mayo. There you go, Andrew. I know you're Cuban. My wife's Colombian. Cinco de Mayo is like a Mexican thing. But hey, you know, May 5th was our big satellite launch date.
It's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
You know, gunlearn.com, another one of our sponsors, Blue the Gold, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to them, we're reaching about 1.5 million people on stream. And then Two Bells, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So if you go there, you get cool shirts like what I'm wearing, and the prices are low. I pay the same fees that everybody else pays because we don't mark it up. We don't make a dime off of anything on the online store. So the prices are very inexpensive. So check that out, guys. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com and lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? Well, Andrea and I are going to be covering first an anti-ICE agitator video. And this agitator gets pummeled by police during a bridge blocking event. I got to tell you, I smiled most of the time during the video, seeing things that we would love to do, but normally in some jurisdictions in the country cannot. And then we got a former Louisville police officer sentenced for violating Breonna Taylor's civil rights. You know, the only cop sentenced to anything, and he's the one that didn't shoot her. It's kind of crazy. And then we've got an Anchorage police officers in Alaska. They're justified in the fatal shooting of a bad guy who reached for a gun. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the last name of the bad guy. Then we got a Rochester police. They released body-worn camera video of a shootout with a murder suspect. Off-duty Lakeland police officer ends up being arrested for filing a false report. And that happens in Polk County, where, of course, you know, our buddy Sheriff Grady Judd works. Then we got Colorado Springs police release video of a deadly shooting of an armed man in the downtown area. And Amherst police body cam video incident. Officer ends up getting stabbed. The suspect shot. And then Fort Lauderdale police, there's a body cam of an officer fatally shooting a suspect that's armed with an airsoft gun. We got a lot of stuff to go through, Andrea. So if you if you have your seatbelt on, let's get the party started.
Let's go. So
first, there is a video component of this. It's at RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. Any ICE agitator gets pummeled by police during a bridge blocking event.
Record! What the fuck?
You guys have to keep things in perspective. I'm talking to our audience when you hear this stuff. And look, the videos use of force, it's never pretty. But a group of anti-ICE protesters. So these are people that hate immigration and customs enforcement. They cross from Ohio into Kentucky, and they come into Kentucky, and they ended up being arrested on Thursday evening after they were blocking traffic on Roebling Suspension Bridge and refusing police orders to move. So they were non-compliant, and they're blocking traffic, and there's some other stuff going on. So they got a little hostile and violent. The Covington Police Department confirmed that 13 individuals were taken into custody, and they're now facing a bunch of charges, including felony rioting. So that's some serious stuff. According to a statement from Covington Police, the protest initially started in Ohio, made its way across state lines in over the Ohio River into Kentucky via this Roebling Bridge. Police say the demonstration obstructed traffic and created safety concerns for both the demonstrators and the public. Officers, they tried to de-escalate the situation. They instructed the protesters to leave the roadway and move to the sidewalk. However, the crowd got hostile, and they exhibited a threatening behavior. So when tensions escalated, officers started physically detaining several demonstrators. Now, in the video that's going around, circling online, you know, it doesn't show everything, but there's a man and a woman being taken to the ground by police. The male subject is being struck multiple times during the arrest on the bridge. Now, the footage appears to show a vehicle being blocked by protesters on the bridge as well that happened prior to the arrest. Now, here's what the chief, Brian Valente, said, and again, he's with Covington Police, but he said this incident, and he's talking during a media briefing, he defended the officers using the force, stating that the guy involved that was being struck, that officers, he struck an officer's pepper ball gun, and they actively was resisting arrest by holding on to a bridge railing. So I think we would call that passively resisting, Andrea, not actively resisting. However, even though the chief may have got, maybe that might be one difference between how we do it here in Florida. If the bad guy struck the officer's gun, that would be an issue. And they're completely justified in that level of force. And he also goes on, the chief, saying they were told several times to get off the road, non-compliant. Situation on the bridge was dangerous. Our response prioritized the safety of everyone involved. Now, the 13 protesters arrested were charged with various offenses, including rioting, felony, unlawful assembly, disorderly conduct, and other misdemeanors. And while most charges were minor, the rioting classified as a felony in Kentucky, it carries potential penalties up to 5 years in prison if convicted. So some of these people are looking at some serious time. I bet they never thought about that when they were crossing over the bridge from Ohio. The response by Covington Police stood in contrast to how similar demonstrations are being handled in other cities, particularly in more liberal jurisdictions. It goes on to mention that anti-ICE protest in Portland and Oregon, they had minimal enforcement or prosecution, and then they complain when they burn the cities down. But we got a little over 4 minutes before we go to the first commercial break. Andrea.
Well, so first of all, this area, typically is, you know, it's highly traveled by traffic. And then, you know, you have people that are on the bridges. That in and of itself poses an issue. You know, you sit there and you think if somebody falls into that water, what they say was about 100 feet up. You know, that poses a different problem. Not only are you talking about, you know, the person falling into the water, you're talking about the manpower that's going to take for the person. And then it's taking the that's distracting the officers that are on the bridge trying to control, you know, the crowd that are peacefully protesting. You know, the body-worn camera, the first one that they've been showing, it doesn't look great, but you have a big post, you know, that's right there. So it just looks like the guy's getting struck. You don't see what's behind there. Once you put all the videos together, and this is why people need to be careful before they start to judge, you start to put all these videos together, it starts to put that story together, you know, and then you add in the officer's statements, you know, any witness statements, it paints that picture for you. So people need to be very careful before they start to judge these situations, not to mention you're crossing jurisdictions. That's another issue. And I know that they were talking to the chief, they were questioning him about, you know, why didn't you just, you know, wait until they got across the bridge? That's not always, you know, it's not always possible, nor will they probably cross the bridge. If they know that, you know what, they're in the best position to put you in a position of vulnerability, they're going to stay on that bridge because that's what they're out there to do. They're out there to create an issue, to create a problem. You know, I don't know if you see, like in the video, you'll see the shoes, the one, it looked like a female, but I'm not positive because the body did not look like a female. But you know, you see the shoes flying at officers.
Well, that was a chick. That was a girl. She was a big girl. Well, she wasn't just a girl. She was like,
no, we don't know. In all,
you don't think
in all
so? Fairness, you don't think that was the female?
It kind of resembled one, but that was a big girl.
if that was not a female, that dude is missing a good opportunity. Let me tell you.
Either way, you know, the shoes go flying, you know, there's a lot going on right there. Not to mention when you look at that little, you know, that little area on the side of the bridge, you don't have a lot of room to move. So, you know, once you grab, if you grab an officer's gun or anything like that, those blows are going to come and they're going to come and you're going to go down and it's probably not going to look pretty. You saw a couple other takedowns. They might not have looked pretty, but they were, you know, pretty normal takedowns for, you know, for a rider.
So when the big girl dude, it, whatever it is, you know, kicked the, I saw the shoe go flying. And so they're trying, I mean, look like a female, even the way she was kind of fighting, looked kind of like a female to me. I fought a lot of females, but I've never fought you. But of course, you know, I normally, you know, my bad knee's not from you, but normally if I had a bad knee, you'd be the first, you know, culprit. I would mention. But when I saw her or him flick that shoe off, that like flip flop at the female cop, next thing I know, it's getting hosed down with the OC pepper spray by the female cop, completely justified. But yep. the main thing I'm thinking about is that the other cop that has a hold of this female, or he's trying to take her down. I mean, the female cop was hosing everybody down, right? I mean,
that's
you
right.
know, you can't just spray OC pepper spray, especially on a bridge. You know, there was going to be wind and stuff. You are contaminating everybody. And even the protest, I mean, there's a lot of contamination going on. I mean, you can speak from experience.
That's right. That's right. That's one of the worst experiences I've had in my entire life. I probably would have been tased again rather than getting, you know, OC spray.
Yeah, it happened. So yeah, a lot of contamination. But it was that part of the video I kind of liked, you know. So but hey, we're coming up on our first commercial break. And we're having fun, Andrea. I love having you on the show. So stick with us, guys. It's going to get a lot better. And hopefully you're enjoying the show. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we deal with guns every day. And, you know, we have to buy gear. You know, this is our job, right? And when it comes to buying gear, we have a lot of choices, especially when you throw the online mix into it, right? I mean, the choices are almost endless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve. Wow, that's impressive. And of course, they do it in spectacular fashion. So when you're talking about getting your gear, please consider going to our title sponsor at Gauls.com and making your purchase there. It's a fantastic company, and they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens, of focused organizations like this radio show. So please go to Gauls.com for that purchase. And they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We gave one away yesterday. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip the Block, your host. We're joined by former officer Andrea Casale, and we've been talking about some protesters and rioters that crossed over a bridge from Ohio into Kentucky. It didn't go so well for them when they got into a conservative jurisdiction. So they found out how they get treated maybe a little differently. We got people over on Rumble, Andrew, saying, "Hey, it's Lady Andrea," and MVS is glad you're on as well. So we got a lot of your fan base. It's all still there, Andrea. So any more words on this one? Or are you ready to go on to the next topic?
I was just going to say it was a little bit annoying when you watch the news outlet when they were sitting there talking about it, how they were trying to spin it. And then they had, I don't remember what his name was, but they had a gentleman on there talking about, you know, the de-escalation and things that he would or wouldn't. You know, it's very damaging when you start to bring somebody in like that. Like I said, you have to be very careful. Look at the whole perspective of what's going on here and why they're there. But that news outlet, I was like, oh, I just cringed. I'm like, don't start, because we've all been in those situations. They're high stress situations. You have a large crowd, you know, that's there. And then all of a sudden you're taking out one little excerpt of, oh, well, you know what? I think that you shouldn't, you know, start striking when somebody's just holding onto a rail. No. Like, I'm sorry, but there was more going on there. Let's talk about, you know, if he goes and pushes the gun away, anything like that. I'm sorry. You know, all bets are off. Like, they have to take control of that situation. That could turn very bad, very fast, especially in the location that they were at on that bridge.
Yeah, people don't understand that you have your back to the crowd, the hostile crowd that can be throwing rattles and bricks and all kinds of, you know, rocks, all kinds of things like that. And they were hostile because they were charging the cops and they were having to take them down while they're trying to deal with the other people that are distracted with that are on the other side of the bridge. You got to get in and out as quickly as possible. And even though they were doing the strikes, that was minimal damage to make that happen, because prolonging that would have been a lot worse. Then you would have had people being thrown over the bridge.
And if they just would have complied, if they would have complied, if you look at his forehead, the picture that they show his forehead, that was from the metal, you know, when he wasn't complying. It wasn't from the strike. If you look at where the, you know, where the, you know, damage, which again, you know,
I know. If they're looking for someone to do the strikes and be able to sleep good at night, not worry about it, give me a call. You know, I'll send in Andrea. You like that? I'm there. All right. So moving along here, our next one, we have an update article. You know, I went to look at foxnews.com. They didn't give me all the information, so I had to go to MSNBC to get some more information too. So MSNBC.com, I got to give them credit for it, even though the way they wrote the article was just horrible. It's so heavily slanted. And I mean, guys, I'm serious. You know, when I'm going and looking for stories, even though I might use Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever, if I'm looking for a story and I want to get a good coverage of it, I've got to, if I don't type in a comma space Fox News, Fox is not going to be listed. Try that out. Do a new story. Don't type in Fox News and see if it pops up or where it's at in the list, how many pages down. But if you, I have to type in Fox News in order to be able to get a decent account of a story. So on this one, former Louisville police officer sentenced for violating Breonna Taylor's civil rights. Now, listen to this. A federal judge has sentenced former Louisville police officer Brett Hankinson to 33 months in prison for violating the civil rights of Breonna Taylor. So that's just a little under 3 years, right, of a sentence. And of course, she was killed in 2020 when law enforcement, it was a botched drug raid, not saying that they weren't doing anything wrong, but it was a botched raid. Her boyfriend started the shootout. But Hankinson, our cop here, 49 years old, was convicted last year of violating Breonna Taylor's civil rights, which could have resulted in a maximum sentence of life in prison. Now, think about this now. Think about the stakes. So this is what he was convicted of last year. Now, U.S. District Court Judge Rebecca Grady Jennings, who was appointed by President Trump, handed down the sentence on Monday afternoon. Remember, 33 months, but it could have been life. Now, last week, the U.S. Justice Department, so the DOJ, Trump's DOJ, asked a federal judge to sentence him for just one day in prison and 3 years of supervised probation, noting in a court filing that he did not shoot Breonna Taylor and is otherwise not responsible for her death. So when they start throwing that information, oh, he's not the guy. He didn't shoot Breonna Taylor. He's not responsible for her death, but he's getting, you know, 33 months. And that's why the DOJ went down and they asked for a more lenient sentence, which of course they did not get. Taylor, a black woman, was killed by police in 2020 after they executed a no-knock warrant during a botched raid of her home. Her boyfriend, who was carrying a legally owned firearm, shot at police when they're executing the warrant at the wrong house, prompting them to fire back 22 times into the apartment. Now there's debates going back and forth. You know, did the police properly announce themselves? You know, why did he start shooting at police? And all those things. But it goes on to say that a separate jury deadlocked on federal charges against Officer Hankinson back in 2023. He was acquitted on state charges of wanton endangerment in 2022. So remember, we're dealing with a civil rights issue. Now, here's the stuff I had to get from the MSNBC article. Hankinson, who fired several shots in the raid, but he didn't hit her. He did not fire the shot that killed Breonna Taylor. He was found guilty by a federal jury last November violating Taylor's civil rights. And frustratingly, while there remains an investigation into the warrant that authorized the raid, Hankinson is the only officer who fired into Breonna Taylor's apartment to be charged and convicted of any crime. And he didn't even hit her. Federal prosecutors declined to prosecute the officer who actually did fire the fatal shot, Officer Miles Cosgrove, because they said that he was justified in his actions. Wow. How does that? I know. I see you squinting, Andrea. We've got less than a minute before we take our second commercial break. But how do you feel about that one?
It just doesn't sit well. You know, I agree that once you start setting this precedent, like, first of all, you're arresting a police officer You have to be very careful of the precedent that you're going to set. Make sure that they're guilty of, you know, of a crime. It doesn't make sense why this officer is being charged, and I don't think that the other officer should be charged, but that the other officer is not being charged. It doesn't make sense to me. First of all, again, let's go back to, okay.
We're kind of tied. I'm sorry for the late start, but yeah, we're going to have to go to the second commercial break, but hold that thought. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conducted energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminate weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Now we're going to be talking about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines in the clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up today, Miranda and Beyond, and next week, all about abandonment on July 30th. Sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Officer Andrea Casal, and we're talking about the news and the issues from a law enforcement perspective. So, Andrea, we talked about a couple things already today. Any words of wisdom or on the last topic before we move on, or are you done talking about the prior one, or?
I probably lost my train of thought. No, just more so, you know, it just, you have to be careful when you start charging these officers, you know, and again, he's not, you know, the one that fired that shot.
I know what I was going to say.
Yes.
Because we're talking about Breonna Taylor, for people that are just now watching the show, law enforcement talk show, talking about the officer that did not shoot Breonna Taylor, and he's just been sentenced to 33 months, so just shy of 3 years in prison. He could have got, it's for a civil rights violation, and he could have gotten a life sentence, but the DOJ came in and they were asking for, what was it, like 1 month or something? What?
No, it wasn't one day in prison and three years of probation. To me, here's, you know, my big thing is, first of all, you know, thank God it wasn't life. Like, thank God. You know, we started setting a precedent, you know, years ago. Biden administration did not help, obviously. Yeah, you're going to get me in trouble. I'm sure my husband will love that. The Biden administration did not, you know, did not help all of these police officers. Clearly arresting them for, you know, doing their job. I think that, you know, obviously that affected hiring. It affected the quality of officers. Who wants to do that job when they know that there's a possibility of them getting arrested for doing their job? You know what I mean? It's just ends up getting to the point where, but thank God it was only 33 months. It shouldn't have been 33 months. It shouldn't have been the day and then three, you know, months probation. But thank God that this officer is not going to spend the rest of his life, you know, in prison. I just think that it's very sad that we started allowing for, you know, these things to start happening to law enforcement, not breaking it down, taking all the facts, you know, and making decisions from there. I think it was just a precedence that was set.
Well, thanks, Andrea. And, you know, sure enough, I knew that going over to Rumble, you know, the MVS would take care of us. Well, number one, there's 200 milligrams of caffeine in the Black Rifle Energy. So that's the answer to that question. And MVS was also saying, in reference to this Breonna Taylor sentence of 33 months against this officer who's the other guys have shot, one's killed her and all this stuff, you know, have skated. I don't think that this is a situation where these officers need to be going to jail. There may be some, if they're not covered by qualified immunity, maybe maybe there's some outlets there, but I really think it should be a qualified immunity issue. They should qualify for immunity, but I'm thinking that the agency or the city, there's going to be a check written by somebody. I just don't think it should be the officer or a jail sentence. But I know that MVS was said on here that Trump needs to pardon him. So with that said, the only thing I can think of that they haven't really addressed, I wish there was more information about what this cop did. We don't know. I mean, it's possible he may have written the warrant.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or he may have been responsible for them hitting the wrong house. Because, you know, let's face it, you know, I write the warrant. I should be there when it's executed, but maybe there's some exigency of the circumstance or something going on. I just got the warrant signed and the guys have to hit the door, or for whatever reason, I'm not there to make sure that they're hitting the right house. Or maybe some guy gives some bad information on the surveillance, but he could have had a role that led to her death, even though he didn't pull the trigger. You know what I'm saying? With them hitting the wrong house.
So this is where we have to go back to allowing the agencies to address these situations and if agencies did it properly and they, went ahead and whether it be a training issue or whether it be discipline through policy, whatever it may be, it really should start with the administration. If anything was violated there, amongst the agency. And I don't think that we allowed for any of that to happen over the last few years. It was immediately, oh, we're going to go ahead and file charges on this officer. They're going to be arrested. We're going to go ahead and because we want to go ahead and show, oh, look, we have sympathy for these, bad guy victims. I'm sorry. But, there are a lot of times that these things would have been handled in-house and it would have been handled very harshly, but you wouldn't be going to prison for doing your job. And I think that that's a very, very difficult, very unfortunate precedent to set.
Yeah. I know with MBS saying that Trump should pardon him or that he could, it is a federal case. The DOJ was weighing in on this. So because it's federal and not state, Trump could actually weigh in and do that. I kind of had the Derek Chauvin feeling on this one. Breonna Taylor, there was so much involved with this case, with the charges against these officers and stuff. I'd rather the judicial system take care of it and fix it. And saying, hey, the DOJ requested the judge do this. Judge, went higher on the standard. It was still within the guidelines, of course, but I wish it would be addressed by the court, maybe because of some extenuating circumstances. But there's still stuff like we just talked about that we just don't know that might make a difference to some of it. But again, a lot of this stuff can be a training issue. I still don't think, even if he was the guy that wrote the search warrant, even if some of those other answers were answered not in his favor, for him to be sentenced like this, a civil rights violation, it's just going in a place we just don't want to go.
Well, and it goes along with everything and a lot of the stuff that we're seeing just with many topics around. Until you have all of the information and you have all of the information in front of you, it's really difficult to sit there and judge and sit there and say, oh, yep, he should go to prison. This is one of those things where I didn't feel like I had enough information to make a decision on, whether or not, well, I felt like I had enough information to say that 33 months was, it was unreal. But at the same time, I don't have enough information, and I think that that's one of those things. We'll see, maybe we'll see more. I think we'll see more with this coming down,
We'll keep watching. I know on Friday, I'm just letting everybody know, on Friday, we're going to have a special show. We got we got our feds on the show. Actually, Frank Loveridge, retired Secret Service, he's going to be in the show. I'm trying to get some other people on here to talk about, it's Friday and there's new information coming out daily on the release of some information by Pam Bondi and the DOJ involving former President Barack Obama and there's words like treason. And some very serious stuff being thrown out there about Barack Obama and possible indictment. And there's even rumors that, grand jury is going to be convening, if not already, about this. So we'll be talking about that on Friday. There's more information coming out. There's some great information that came out today. So we should have enough information to intellectually cover this thing on Friday. So stay tuned for that. This next story, there's a video component at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Anchorage officers justified in the fatal shooting of a Udava Alela who reached for a gun.
If you don't get out, we're going to use force against you.
I don't have no gun.
Gun?
I don't have no gun, man.
Get out of the fucking car.
Hey, it's a phone, bro.
Get out of the fucking car.
Don't shoot me, bro. Don't shoot me. Hey, man, it's a phone. Don't shoot me, man. Hey.
Do not move.
So on May the 12th, Anchorage cops, Officer Carter Mayes stopped a 41-year-old named Yudava Alela, who was driving, and it was a headlight issue is why he pulls him over. So after Officer Mayes stops the car, he asked our bad guy if he's armed. Bad guy says no. Bad guy's lying. So as Officer Mayes asked the bad guy to hand over his keys to step out of the car, and the reason for that is because it was not drivable. It was not safe to be on the roadway. They made the determination, wanted them to get out. Another officer on the passenger side shines his light into the car, notices a firearm between the bad guy's legs. And it, about this time, when he lights it up, the other officer in the driver's door, the main officer, sees the gun as well. And so our officer tells the bad guy, put your hands up, step out of the car. And he said that he put his right arm out and put it down quickly towards the gun. And it says that the officer shoots him once and kills him. But that's not exactly how it goes down. I'm going to go up to my show notes. And it says that at the 2-minute and 3-second mark, the officer spots the firearm between the suspect's leg. And the suspect had previously said, hey, he was not armed. At 1 minute and 19 seconds, the officer fires a single shot, killing the suspect. After the suspect repeatedly says, and this is what the suspect is saying, the officer says, hey, you know, there's a gun. The suspect is saying, it's a phone. And he's telling the officer, don't shoot. So you're hearing one thing because you don't have a really good visual, right? It's nighttime flashlights and you just really can't see what it is between his legs. And then when you jump, there's another angle at 3 minutes and 26 seconds of the shooting. But yeah, the bad guy said at least 2 times, it's a phone. And I think 3 times, don't shoot. And of course, our officer ends up firing and the bad guy ends up dying. Now, Anchorage police, and it was one shot too. You know, Brett doesn't like single shots. He thinks they're like accidental or something. Anchorage police chief Sean Case said later that our bad guy was not legally allowed to own a firearm. He had a felony warrant for a stolen vehicle. In a letter from the State Office of Special Prosecutions, it says that the state prosecutors found that the bad guy had lied not having the firearm. He did not comply with the officer's commands, and he made a sudden movement to the gun in his lap. They deemed that the officer was legally justified in shooting him. We've got about 30 seconds, Andrew, before we go to the commercial break. Go ahead.
Just real quick, he asked how many times? He asked, about 7 times? Oh, why did you pull me over? And the officer answered him every single time. So that's just an indicator right there of, you know, they kept saying, because you have a headlight out. His actions, his behavior, the response to officers' responses, those are all indicators that something is not right. The hair on the back of your neck starts to stand up. This is one of those situations that could have gone very bad, very fast, and the right guys won.
Thank you, Andrea. That was a good quick breakdown. The commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, your chief or sheriff, the founder, Dan O'Kelly's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back, Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip DeBlock, your host, joined by Officer Andrea Casal, and we're talking about today's news and issues from a law enforcement perspective. So, Andrea, you broke that last one down pretty quickly. Any final words on this Anchorage police thing going down?
I always have more words. The one thing I will say is, if you really take it from a civilian standpoint, this is where it gets fairly nerve-wracking for law enforcement, walking up to a car, not knowing what's going on inside that car. When you take a step back and you start to look at it, think about that second officer that comes up in front of the car and blocks him in. When you watch the video, you'll see he drives up. Now, at any point, that guy could have pointed that gun, that firearm, at that officer. you know, it things happen so fast and you really don't know what you're walking up on. I would like to have seen him maybe walk up, you know, a little more swiftly, especially since he did come from that angle. Didn't love it, but you know, at the same time, you know, you never know what you're coming up on. And that's one thing civilians should really understand. When officers pull you over, we don't know what we're going to come across once we get to that car. The bad guys are the ones that are trying to be evasive. Why'd you pull me over? Why'd you pull? That doesn't warrant me to give you my keys. Why should I give you my keys? So all of those things that his behaviors and the reasons why they were sitting there like, no, no, no. They felt like something was off. Those are all the indicators for officers when they come up on scene.
Okay. I love it. Good breakdown. Thank you. Now, our next one, we're still at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel. This is Butter again. Rochester police release body-worn camera video of a shootout with a murder suspect.
I can't run the guy over. Okay. You better stop.
He's going northbound. He's going northbound. Get on the ground. Cover up. Get on the ground.
Fuck.
You okay? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Don't move. Get your hand behind your back.
I'm good.
The hand behind your back.
All of them.
Okay, shots fired. Okay. Guns right here.
We got it.
So, yeah, Rochester, New York. So the Rochester Police Department, they released this body-worn camera video. It's a shootout between the cops and the murder suspect. The suspect fired at the officer, and then a second officer shoots the suspect. Now, it happened on Sunday morning, June the 22nd. The suspect is a 35-year-old, and the suspect's name is Edison Estramera Cohen, and is accused of shooting and killing a man hours earlier. Now, he was hospitalized after being shot and is facing multiple charges, so he didn't die. And in addition to the body cam footage, the agency released video from a blue light camera. So the first video is a body cam video. It belongs to the officer who was a passenger in the police cruiser that tracks down the suspect. So the officers, they're in the cruiser. They get reports that the suspect that he's been spotted and he's on a bicycle. So once the cruiser stops, our cop on the passenger side, we're looking at it through his body cam. He bolts out of the car and he's chasing the bad guy and he's shouting at him. Hey, and he's going northbound. And he shouts again, communicating to the other cops that he's going northbound. While that first officer's running, and look, there was a little confusion here because it's hard to figure out exactly when shots were fired and by whom, by the video and even from the written accounts in the article. So in this, you see the officer. It says that he appears to fire his gun at the suspect, and another officer ends up tackling the guy on the sidewalk. And after that, a third officer, seen early in the video as the driver, he arrives and he ends up handcuffing the suspect. It goes on to say that the first officer asked for a medical kit. Suspect has definitely been shot, he says on radio. The video ends when the officer starts putting on gloves to treat the guy. And then we watch a second body cam video, and this is the driver of the police car. And his passenger was able to get out, you know, quicker than him. But he runs up there and he yells, shots fired. And he said, hey, he's grabbing his waistband. And the officer then arrives at the scene where the suspect's lying on the ground and the two officers are around him. And one officer on the passenger side of the cruiser is there, who we just saw earlier. They say that there was an officer injured on the scene. He was not wearing a body cam video, and we don't know how he was injured. So just going to my show notes on this thing, we see the chase and the officer saying he's going northbound. And during the chase, you hear what sounds like a single gunshot. It doesn't appear that our guy from the passenger side of the cruiser is the guy that shot. I mean, it's just so much moving around during the chase. It just doesn't appear that he was the guy that shot. And but we also have a surveillance camera, and we got this bad guy running from the cop. He gets blindsided, doesn't he, by this cop that comes out of freaking nowhere and just nails this guy. It's like the guy gets hit by a Mack truck, and our bad guy, who does have a gun, goes freaking flying. But then he gets up and he starts to run again. Our cop hits him so hard, the cop goes down too. But as they're both getting up, cop tackles him, takes him down. And at this point, the gun comes out, and you are first officer that bailed out of the passenger side. When the guy's being tackled for the second time by the cop that hit him like a Mack truck, we clearly see that guy point. It looks like he does a double tap into the bad guy and shoots him at that time. So whether the bad guy shot one time while he's running, or whether there was another cop or whether that was even a gunshot. I just don't know. There's just a lot of questions there, but it is a pretty sensational video. We got about 4.5 minutes. Andrea Cassell.
It is hard to tell when the bad guy shot first. My heart was going fast because when you watch the officer shooting, like, I'm so worried for the officer that's tackling, which just goes to show, you know, again, that close, you know, contact when bad guy's shooting and somebody's going hands on, you know, and you could tell he kept asking him, are you okay? Are you okay? Because I think he's probably wondering, I pray to God I didn't shoot him, you know, yeah. But so my guess would be, you know, he probably saw, you know, when the bad guy shot, he probably saw that gun. That's probably why he was like, I got to neutralize this threat. It was kind of hard to tell from the video, but man, that hit was awesome. Totally blindsided. And when you get a chance to watch the video, it was really cool. It was cool because the guy's running for a little bit. The officers, you know, you could see them chasing after him. And all of a sudden the one officer comes and just a complete perfect hit. You know, sometimes you sit there and you plan it in your head, and I'm really good with it. I plan it in my head. It does not play out how you like expect it to. This looked like it played out exactly how he expected it to. So that was good. Yeah. That was an awesome hit.
If only there was a slow motion of that, Andrea.
I know. That'd be great. I want to see that bad guy's face when he got hit, because I know me, I'd be like, I'm not getting up. Yeah. I'm done. I'm tapped out.
Well, actually, where am I showing it? At 5:28, there is actually a slow motion. They started off with the firearm in the suspect's hand, and then they kind of show that they should kind of show the hit too at 5:28. But
he was probably feeling that more than he was the gunfire.
I like the full motion is what I enjoy. I enjoy the full, because that part was just yeah. Beautiful, you know. And you're right.
And it's nice that they have those cameras, you know, on the street, kind of does show that, because that's the part that you can't quite see from the body worn, was you can see him running, and he was running. I mean, he ran a good distance. So, you know, it's not just officer saying, oh, he was running from me. You know, you get the full image of this murder suspect running, you know, on the outside of that fence line. But I mean, he's running a good distance. He's not trying to just get away. Like, he's trying to get away. He's not just trying to, you know, he wants to leave. He wants to flee, you know, and that's where, you know, again, that thought process is, nope, we got to stop him. And he got stopped.
Well, he did. and you know, when you're chasing bad guys, you know, there is, like Andrea said, there is strategy. You know, I used to look for stationary objects, because when you look, a bad guy's running, when you're both, you're having to run to keep up with them, right? So normally you tackle them, or you even if you just push them, they're going to go off balance. But a better technique is if there's a stationary object, a light pole or a tree, parked car, you know, and you push them into one of those obstacles, then they're down and they're right there. You don't have to go chasing after them, because that momentum will carry them, unless there's a stationary object. So
let's go back to the mindset of how quick a police officer's mind has to work. And that's why sometimes, like, I sit there and I use it in my own life. Like, it has to, everything, you have to think so fast on a situation like that. Nobody could have told you this guy's going to do, you know, he's going to run from you, and then he's going to run, you know, to the right or the left, whatever. You have to think so fast. You have to stay on it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And good point. Well, look, we're less than a minute out, and a great breakdown on some of the videos. Any final words to our listening audience in the next, for the next 30 seconds, Andrea?
No, I just appreciate the support. Thanks for letting me be on, and it's nice to see everybody on here. So thank you. It's nice to hang out with Chip for a little while. Get back into the whole law enforcement thing for just a few moments, a little snapshot of my life.
That's right. And we got, looks like Andrew's agreeing with us with a double tap, you know, on that one, even though I don't think there was audio at that particular time. I can't remember, but I remember it was very, you know, and sometimes they don't, sometimes it gets difficult to sync the audio and the video at the same time too. So, but it did look like a double tap, but that's why the other story with a single shot, it kind of makes you wonder, we're not really trained to do single shots, you know? So, yeah. So when that happens, I'm not saying they're never appropriate. If you're doing a shot from distance and the backdrop's not really great, you know, you want to do a nice, slow, controlled shot, right? You know, you don't want to just be doing double taps over distance, you know. So, but another fantastic show. Former officer Andrea Cassell, thank you so much. You did an outstanding job. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that I suffer from things like PTSD and other issues. So if you haven't checked out the Wounded Blue, if you're looking for an organization to support That's not going to embarrass you. I highly recommend the Wounded Blue that was founded by our friend, because Andrea knows him too, Randy Sutton. And another great show. Guys, don't forget that on Friday, we're going to be covering Barack Obama and the possible treasonous activities being accused of by the Trump administration. So stay tuned for that. And also, thanks to our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Gunler.com, BlueTheGold.com, Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, and TwoBells.com. We'll look for you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.